Hey there, this is Seth Juarez with Channel 9 here at .NET Fringe talking about all stuff open source. I'm here with Brian Lagunas. If you've ever done WPF, you've probably heard of Prism. Now, there's a little bit of history that I want to get into on Prism. Tell us where it's been and where it's going and what role you have in that.
Okay, so Prism actually started back in about 2008 when the Microsoft Patterns and Practices team had this great idea. You know, they have this great WPF framework and they want to help people be successful writing apps for it. So they created this guidance, which initially was called the Component Application Composite.
It was a composite application. It was some long name, right?
It was a long name, and then it was renamed to Prism because that other name was really hard to say.
Right. Now, Prism has some unfortunate connotations in the United States for those that are watching, but it's not like the bad Prism. It's the good Prism.
Yes, it's the good Prism. And even the good Prism has a bad reputation for some reason. You know, there's assumptions made about Prism. You know, it's heavy, you know, all this negative stuff around it, so people don't give it a fair shot. But so all Prism really is it's guidance on how to build XAML applications.
Now, the thing about XAML and WPF is I'm a curmudgeonly old, like, WinForms guy. When I first started looking at WPF, I was like, oh my gosh, I got to learn like 50 different things. And I obviously exaggerating. There's the XAML, there's the code in the back, there's the how to compose these things together. How do you navigate? There's no like handling of buttons the same way. It's a little bit different. How does Prism help with that?
So what Prism does is, it provides guidance on building scalable, maintainable applications. Mm-hmm. It allows for loose coupling. We've all heard of MVVM, right? So one thing that Prism has always been compared to is an MVVM framework. You know, you say, oh yeah, Prism, MVVM framework. No, it's not. It sits higher than that. And the previous versions of Prism had no support for MVVM, period. I mean, they might have had, I don't even think it had a view model base class.
Interesting.
So it didn't care what your view design pattern used. It was more, it set higher at the application level.
I see. So you're saying, because I always thought of Prism as like an MVVM framework, but you're saying it's like, okay, that's part of it. Other chunks that you can look at inside of Prism?
So other chunks that come, concepts are like modularity.
Okay.
You know, so if you think of like Outlook, you open up Outlook and you have these major groups or these major functional areas of your app, like mail and, you know, contacts and schedules, right? Mm-hmm. Well, imagine those as separate assemblies or projects inside Visual Studio, and they have no knowledge of each other. They exist on their own. But what Prism allows you to do is build that major functional area out, and then when the app is run, it all comes together, and you can still loosely communicate using event aggregation. Mm-hmm. You know, pub sub events. You can use commanding.
Interesting.
Right. So there's mechanisms built in that allow you to loosely to communicate across these loosely coupled components, because even the main application, the EXE, can have no idea about what modules it's going to load.
Interesting.
It's done at runtime.
So the cool thing is, like, say I build this really cool part of a program and I build it in this sort of modular way, it allows me to reuse it in all the programs I ever build because they're not even connected.
Not even connected. And not only that, a lot of wins that I saw in the enterprise are that you have teams working on different areas of the app at the same time.
Without, because all they do is talk to each other through messages, and
that's right.
All you care about is something's being clicked. I'm just going to tell everything that, and then everyone can handle whatever
exactly.
They
want. Exactly. This module over here needs to show something. And you can have functionality in, say, module A, right? Project A, and then project Z. You can call functionality in project Z from A without even knowing about Z existing.
That's interesting. Is that through the event aggregator and commanding?
Aggregator, composite commands.
Got it.
Prism isn't really that complicated. What makes it complicated are the things you have to know anyways to write an app.
I see. So we talked about MVVM, which is PAR. We talked about modularity. What is the other parts of Prism that we can talk about?
Okay, we have a concept of regions.
Okay.
So I'm going to go back to our Outlook example. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we already talked about our navigation on the left-hand side. Uh-huh. Now you also have, you know, this area in the middle where you load your content, your main content. Uh-huh. Then you have this area at the top where you have your ribbon, right? And as you navigate around, things are changing and swapping in and out.
Right.
How's that happen? You know, that's really cool. Well, that's where regions come in. And what regions do, they allow you to create like a template, like an ASP.NET master page.
Got it.
You mark these areas in your view that say, hey, these areas are going to hold something.
Okay.
Right? And then you use the region navigation. When you click on this, you have a command. You say navigate to this region, and this view just shows up.
Okay, and these are the views or modules of the module. You can sort of call these things from everywhere and move them around. Which brings us to the next interesting thing. One of the problems I had when I started with WPF was how to navigate throughout things. Is there anything that Prism does to help with that?
Yes, actually, I really don't like the WPF navigation framework. I wish they would just get rid of it and adopt Prism's. Prism navigation is extremely powerful and so easy to use.
Right.
It goes as far as to allowing views and view models, because some people like to do view model first, some people like to do view first, you know, Prism doesn't care. But it allows you to have very loosely coupled navigation within these regions just by calling a navigate method on a navigation service.
That's awesome. So what it is like this service that's sort of over top of everything, and each module can say, hey, I need to do something, move this or change this region, and then it'll just do it.
Exactly. Okay. And you know, this module up here can say, navigate to XYZ, and XYZ just happens to exist in another module that has no idea exists.
Ah, I see.
And then XYZ loads up because module A
and
called
it. I think another benefit of looking at Prism seems to be that since it's so loosely coupled, it's really easy to swap things out, you know,
extremely
in CTO.
Simple.
While it's still there, like for example, if some part of your program is not working really nice and you don't like it, you can just change that without sort of that bleeding into all the other functionality.
Exactly, completely separate. You can have a better cadence at releasing features to your end users. Prism really is all about keeping your stuff testable.
Right.
Right. So Prism uses a lot of concepts that maybe a lot of developers don't use but should. You know, inversion of control, dependency injection, Unity. Prism uses Unity. It has support for Unity and MEF, but you can use any container you want. So it's really about keeping everything maintainable and testable.
Got it. That's really cool. Are there any other aspects of Prism that we've missed that you think are important?
Well, you know, with Prism 5 was released not too long ago. It came out with more actual view model MVVM support.
Got it.
Okay, it's like, you know what, we have, although there's frameworks out there that do MVVM and they do it well, we're gonna add some basic stuff in there. So we got view model locator, for example. But the Prism's view model locator is a little different than the other view model locators developers may be used to.
Okay.
So with Prism's view model locator, you basically just set an attached property on the view, and it's convention based. So if I had, you know, main view or main page, I would set a property called auto wire view model equals true. And then Prism will just go find the main page view model.
Oh, that's cool.
And
because
hook it
generally
up.
In the constructor, you'd have to say the context. Is it, what's it called? The
data context.
The data context is this nude up view model. Now it's just gonna do that for you with
exactly.
the attached property.
And what's beautiful about this is with Prisms, you use your container to resolve your view models.
Oh, okay.
So now if your view models have dependencies in their constructors, like an iNavigation service or a iWhatever, iPerson service, it gets it automatically.
That's cool. So this to finish off. So we started out with the past of Prism and the history. We talked a little bit about what's some of the benefits in there. Let's talk about what's changed recently with Prism and the future of Prism.
Okay, so Prism has recently been open sourced by Microsoft.
Cool.
There's an announcement on the .NET blog. It's called Prism Grows Up. So if you do a web search for Prism Grows Up, it'll come up. You can read about it. But yeah, so it's now open source. It's on GitHub, github.com/Prism Library. We also have a domain, prismlibrary.com. It just redirects to the GitHub repo for now. But yeah, so myself, Brian Noyes, and Ariel Ben-Horish. Actually, Ariel's here at .NET Fringe. We have taken the reins of Prism, and we're going to basically move it forward into the future.
That's fantastic. So if people are interested in contributing in any way, what's the best way to do that?
Pull requests.
That's right.
We've had 10 pull requests already from the community. And so I want to back up a little bit.
Sure.
So before Microsoft open sourced Prism, it had a release cadence of about every 2 years. Every 2 years you get a new version of Prism.
Which is kind of a long time.
That's an extremely long time, especially in the fast moving pace of enterprise app development.
Right.
Just a week after we got control, we released a preview of Prism for Xamarin Forms.
Oh, that's amazing. And so now Prism, so when you said XAML, you really meant XAML, not just WPF. So exactly. Anything XAML related, Prism will work with.
Yeah, and so with Prism 5, so previous versions of Prism supported Silverlight, WPF, Windows Store, Windows Phone, and Universal. Prism 5 dropped support for Silverlight, but we've already had requests on GitHub, hey, bring that support back. So that's something we're going to look at. We're going to see what kind of demand is there to bring that back. And then with Windows 10 coming up, you know, build, a couple weeks away?
Right.
I'm going to be there. Brian Noyes is going to be there. And then we're going to start talking about the direction we take Prism for Windows 10, the new UAP.
Perfect. So this is pretty exciting. So where can people go? I know you mentioned, but let's mention one more time the website so people can go and start making pull requests.
Okay, pull requests, you can get there by going to the GitHub repo directly, github.com/PrismLibrary or PrismLibrary.com. And for people trying to get started learning Prism or, you know, just kind of get into it, my blog, BrianLagunas.com. Lots of tutorials, lots of posts and videos. I have some Pluralsight courses out there.
Fantastic.
To get people up and going.
Well, thanks so much for spending time with us on Prism. We will get you next time. And if you, again, if you want to learn more about Prism, look up brianlagunas.com. We'll see you next time. Take care.